listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Reading today from Malachi, the second chapter. Once again, the first 10 verses, and then a few verses from chapter 3. And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant may be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man with his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? And then the first verses of chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, saith the Lord. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer upon the Lord, unto the Lord, an offering in righteousness. Let's pray that this will take place, especially these last words, that God will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Let's pray that that will take place in every nation, in every place, and especially in the household of Levi. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come through Him who is the door, the only door into Thy presence of love, Thy way of forgiveness, Thy way of reconciliation, Thy way of enabling us, giving us both the privilege and the power to become Thy children, even to those that believe on His name, believing because we have been taught of Thee. And as Thou hast said, Father, through the mouth of Christ, that all that are taught of Thee come to Christ, and we know that there is no other way, no other truth, no other life, but in Christ Jesus. We give thanks for giving Him. We give thanks for giving Thy word, telling of Him, and even here, speaking Himself by the pen of Malachi, as He spoke by the pen of Zechariah earlier, and as we can read His words in the Gospels that tell us of His coming, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension back to heaven, and that He is now seated on Thy right hand. We pray, Father, that we might have the blessing spoken of, that He is there making intercession for us even today, and that the Spirit might be given to teach us from these words that we have read and all of Thy word, that all of the church might be taught all of Thy word, and that we might be made one through that word, having Thee written upon our hearts. We pray, Father, for that to take place, that the church might be revived in truth, and then as well in obedience, in love, in all of what is to Thy glory, and all of it, all what is to our blessing, and then through the church to the blessing of others. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are, the temporal needs, the physical needs, those in sickness, injury, hunger, homeless, sorrow, suffering, and older age. We pray, Father, that many might be healed and have that blessing, and many might be taught through these afflictions of the greater needs, that we have here no abiding city, but that we might through even affliction be made to look to that city of whom Thou art the builder and maker through Christ. Amen. Looking once again at these words of Malachi, we've considered them last week. We saw somewhat of what God tells us throughout Scripture. Who is this house of Levi? who are these priests called from that one, that son of Jacob, and then through Aaron, and then later Eleazar, and then Phinehas and others that are given in Scripture. We read here that God is calling them and commanding them. He said, this commandment is for you. As pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists, we like to command others. Tell them to repent. Tell them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Or the other commandments that need to be obeyed. But here, God begins with us, with the priest, with those who are called. As we read in verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at thy mouth, or his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. We are God's messengers. As Paul said when writing to the Corinthians, he says, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We are both the servants of God and the servants of those that hear the word. And we should be willing servants, thankful servants. What a privilege it is to preach good news. Yes, good news. Reconciliation with God, the God of heaven, our creator, our sustainer. The one in whom we live and move and have our being. The one that we are enmity against. And he calls us to reconciliation. He did that with these people for many hundreds of years before this. And now Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, is given this message to write and to state to the priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. Some might say, well, yes, there's a danger of that. But God goes further. He said, I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. The curse has come. It did come then, and I think it's safe to say it has come today. It has come on our homes. It has come in many of our lives. It has come in our nation. We are as guilty today as, and as helpless today as Israel was at one point when God says you put your money in bags with holes in it. We think we can vote for a different leader, or a different leaders, Congress, and that somehow that will take care of what is called the economy. Moses wrote the question, who is it that giveth thee power to get wealth? It is God. He sends blessings and cursings. Yes, he can do that in every sphere of life, in nature, the sunshine, the rain. But here he's doing it even in a more important place. He said, I will curse your blessings. Yes, that could include all blessings in every sphere of life. But he says, I will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, your gatherings together. The gatherings together that they had at that time in the temple, earlier in the tabernacle, coming to bring their offerings before the Lord, going through all of the different ways of the ceremonial laws that God had given. And God says, I'll take that literally and wipe it on your face. Wipe it as waste, something that God could not stand. He spoke of that earlier, already by Isaiah. Many years before this, probably about 300 years, we read already in the first chapter of Isaiah, it says, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread in my courts, bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It's iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Isaiah had described that. And now, God is saying the same thing. He says, your solemn feast, those are such that I will call it waste. I will wipe it as it were on your face. Isaiah had given them warning. He told them to repent. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. All these things are as sinful, bright sins, scarlet. He said, they can be as white as snow. And along with a warning then, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Many, many times, many of those people were devoured with the sword. Sometimes thousands and thousands, even in a day. Many had been taken captive. Many had been carried away. All of that had transpired. It was there. And now it was evidently such again when God says, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Paul writes to the church at Rome, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There can be great variations in how we believe with the heart. But that is out of where the issues of life come, the heart. We can think things with our mind, and as we say, well, I changed my mind. We can do that easily. Have some knowledge, change it, think something else. People go from one church to another, from one political party to another, even sometimes from one nation to another. They become traitors. But what they really have in the heart is more lasting. Sometimes you can tell of people that have believed in their heart certain things that they have been taught, they've been brought up in. And then they may change their mind. They may think differently. But you can still see at times the reflection of what the heart has believed in the past. Sadly, if the mind has changed, the heart hasn't believed with the whole heart. It is like these people here that Malachi is speaking of, when earlier, by the pen of Jeremiah, we read they turned not with the whole heart, but faintly. But still, he says, here, you do not lay it to heart. Do we lay the things of God to heart today? What God has said, are they to us? Like Paul writes in his letter to the Hebrews, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yes, I repeat, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But it must be the whole heart. When you seek for me with your whole heart, God says, you'll find me. And here it was the priest, the leaders. They should be the ones that had believed with all their heart. They should be the ones who had trembled before the Lord. They should be the ones who asked themselves and asked before the Lord, can we teach others? Yes, God gives that declaration, because you lay it not to heart. How terrible. Yes, how terrible. We are still called in the United States of America a Christian nation, but we have not laid the things of God to heart. Not in our churches. So much separation, as we said last week, so much division. Not in our homes. One half of them that unite together in marriage are broken, come apart in the church just as well as in the world. The church is not the answer. The gospel is, the word of God is, but we haven't laid it to heart in the church. Pastors are guilty with the rest, both in the area of divorce and remarriage. Guilty on teaching the wrong thing. Going back again to the 7th and 8th verse, for the priest's lips should have knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. We didn't read the last part of the second chapter, but the last part states that they had dealt treacherously with their companion, the wife of thy covenant, the wife of the youth. And God says of that, that he hateth putting away. Hateth it. Yes, he hates what's going on. He hates all the putting away. Half of the homes that have united in marriage. God hates what has been done. What a condition. And here, I have cursed them already because you lay it not to heart. And he goes on, the third verse, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Here, we can probably say, they have to learn the hard way. God says, I will corrupt your seed. I will do these things, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you. They will know it in judgment. Some know it today in eternity. They know it in hell. That's when they wake up. As one man described by the Lord Jesus, lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And the leaders, the priests that were there in his days, says, how will you escape the damnation of hell? What a terrible thing it is if that's the first time any of us will know that God has sent this commandment. That it was a true commandment, a right commandment, a necessary commandment, a thing to be heeded. God's word is to be heeded in repentance, in us submitting to his word. It is to be heeded in faith, in believing in him, the only true God. And his son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And that son, as a savior, the only savior of the world, the only savior for all nations, the only savior for those in the church and in every religion of the world, all must come to repentance if they have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord. He is Lord. And we need to believe that. He is prophet, priest, and king. He is spoken of in that third chapter. He is himself speaking. He says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. And he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. He has come. He has sent his messenger. As the Lord Jesus said, when they said, when will Elijah come? They said, he has already come, meaning John the Baptist. Yes, God has done much of what is said in his word, and there's other things in his word that he will do. What he has said, he will do, both in judgment and blessing. We read the judgment here on the priest. On the house of Levi. Levi, who especially through Aaron and his grandson Phinehas, had blessing and had promise. We read of that last week. I'll read of it again, where God said of Phinehas, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, have turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them. And I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Yes, here Malachi writes in the fifth verse of the second chapter, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid of my name. When we lay the things of God to heart, we will have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Not the fear in a cringing way, but a fear in respect. A fear in giving honor. A fear like would be given to an esteemed king or general or some leader. In the first chapter, God stated, in the sixth verse, a son honoreth his father, and his servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised my name? And God goes on to say, you offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. That can be done in many different ways. It can be done in the way they were doing it there, and bringing the offerings to the Lord, and different things that are spoken of. We can see it in the last part of that first chapter. We can see it again in the third chapter, robbing God of offerings, the tithes. All that is bringing less than what God says and gives no honor to Him. But another thing that we can do, especially in our day, and I mentioned some of it last week, and that is in our hearing God's word, believing it, and giving glory to Him, in honoring Him, in what His word teaches. That all of us together believe that word. We have to study it first. We have to do as God said through the pen of Paul to Timothy. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he stated, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a right dividing it and a wrong dividing it. A right dividing it so that we take in consideration all of God's word, giving God glory, seeing God's place in creation, in His way with Abraham's seed, in His way with the church, in His way for the future, in His way for the present. All of that should be believed together, sought out together, and prayed for together. When the apostles believed the word of God, when the Lord Jesus opened their understanding that they would believe the word, they prayed in one accord, in one place. Where is that being done today? There's a lack of it. Terrible. We don't fear the Lord. We're like a bunch of children that a mother bakes a pie, and each has a piece and say, mine is better than yours. When the mother made it and made it all alike. But we all think we have something better. We know the condition of the world is bad, our nation is bad, but not our own selves. When will we give heed to the word of God that tells us we're very much alike, and God alone is God, and God alone can be found through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach us, and then to make it known that He had to die for each and every one of us.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise